Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Even if it's $1 million self-managed fund, that's $250,000. You're going to struggle to buy property for $250,000. But if you use a fractional fund, you could perhaps put $50,000 into each of five different properties, different types of property, different geographic locations.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Domacom's Warren Gibson, who'll unpack his journey from one chicken per week to working in film and theatre to getting started in business development. You'll also find out how you can use crowdfunding to get into the market and benefit from spreading your risk. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. With over 35 years of experience in financial services, Gibson's passion lies in creating new opportunities for clients to get into the property market.
Right, well, I'm the general manager of sales and marketing for Domacom, and Domacom was created about 5 years ago as a means to solving the property investing problem. And that problem at the time was and still is, and probably is getting increasingly worse, is the high cost of property precludes many people from acquiring it, either as an investment or to even these days to live in. So the idea of Domacom was to introduce some of the equity market concepts into the property market. In equities, if you want to invest in BHP or you want to invest in Westfield or Coles Myer or any of the listed companies, you buy some shares and you go online and you do that. You don't buy the whole company, you just buy a few shares. And if you're a smart investor, you won't put all of your money into the same stock. You'll stick it into different stocks and different market sectors. And that's called diversification. And it's the number one rule for minimizing, you know, risk. But with property, it's an all or nothing proposition. You either buy a whole property or you buy nothing at all. And for most people, it requires borrowing money to do so. We thought if we could break down the property transaction into bite-sized pieces, it would enable more people to invest in property without having to go into debt and without the need to acquire the entire property. And in doing that, they can actually acquire bits of many different properties in different geographic locations and different types of property, a little in commercial, a little in residential, a little in rural, and a whole host of other alternative property asset classes.
Since Domacom launched 5 years ago, the demand for these asset classes are growing.
It took probably 2.5 years for us to build the technology platform and to get the necessary licenses and the reliefs that we need to make this work. Then it was time to launch and go to market. We began that process through intermediaries, financial planners, financial advisors, and we're now expanding more to the retail market. We called this initially a fractional property investing, which we still do, but we also refer to it as crowdfunding. And that's a term that seems to resonate very well with people. And basically, it's nothing new. I mean, it's been around for centuries, crowdfunding, but it's a modern form of syndication. So it just brings a lot of people together to acquire an asset, and you don't need to know each other. You could be family, you could be friends clubbing together, or you could be total strangers, and you don't need to know who the other investors are. You just choose the asset that you want to invest in and how much you want to invest in it. And then you share in proportionately in the rental income and the future capital growth of the asset.
So what's the difference between this service and a property trust?
Well, all the property trusts and A-REITs, the residential investment trusts, those are listed on the stock exchange. So their fortunes tend to fluctuate with the movement in the share market. And in addition to that, really the underlying properties are commercial properties. In unlisted property trusts, the underlying property assets are also commercial, but they're a pooled structure. So you're going into a fund with quite literally thousands of other people. Into quite large pooled structures, and you have no control over the assets or any choice in the assets that are acquired by the fund manager. In our structure, you get to choose the properties that appeal to you in the areas that appeal to you. And everybody has an opinion on property. They all have an opinion. Everyone has an opinion on geographic locations and property types and so on. So you get choice.
In any given day, Gibson spreads awareness about crowdfunding to his clients.
Our days are pretty full because we get a lot of projects brought to us. Assets are not an issue. Our fund can buy any property for sale anywhere in Australia. Probably the bigger issue is getting awareness and having investors understand how crowdfunding works and what the benefits are. So we spend a fair bit of time explaining that to people, but we're also vetting projects on a daily basis. So we have people bring us all sorts of interesting things. Just to give you an example, right now we're crowdfunding a bio hub in northern New South Wales. This is the first of 100 renewable energy plants. This capital raise is $4.3 million. We anticipate it will pay a yield around 8%, probably a capital uplift up to maybe 20%. So that's one. Then we look at rural properties, agricultural properties. Farmland generally across Australia has performed very well over the last 20 odd years. So if we acquire a farm and we have a tenant there, we're looking at maybe somewhere between 4 and 5% income yield, a rental yield, plus capital growth. And the capital growth varies around the country, but on an average around 6 to 7%.
And there is almost an unlimited supply of properties to choose from.
Investors investing in crowdfunding, they're coming around to understanding how it works and that it's a good alternative to investing in property and a good way to allocate their investment in property. Through financial advisors typically apply an asset allocation strategy based on the risk return model or profile of their clients, and people will put X amount into equity, some into cash, some into fixed interest, some into property. So if you're looking to put in a specific asset allocation to property, let's say you're looking at 25% of your portfolio or your self-managed super fund going into property, if you've only got even if it's $1 million self-managed fund, that's $250,000. You're going to struggle to buy property for $250,000. But if you use a fractional fund, you could perhaps put $50,000 into each of five different properties, different types of property, different geographic locations. So to help in that process, we vet a number of projects and we take on a range of projects just to give people some alternative options there. We also are using Moody's analytics to analyse property data from CoreLogic to identify the top residential areas in each of the capital cities. So if you have a preference for Brisbane over Sydney or Melbourne. You can invest in the top suburb or the top three areas in Brisbane.
Diving into Gibson's background now, where did it all start?
I went to school in Melbourne at Peninsula School in Mount Eliza. I grew up in Melbourne, but I've lived in Sydney and Adelaide over the years, so I've owned property in Adelaide and property in Melbourne.
That's great. And
Sydney, I was much younger, so it eluded me as much as it's eluding many people today.
And how did you end up back in Melbourne? Because you obviously, you know, grew up in Sydney as well.
My career in financial services spans about 35 years. It started in South Australia and not in Sydney. I was doing other things in Sydney, working in film distribution and theatre, which is about as diverse as you can get from investment. But my interest in investment started in South Australia and just expanded out from there.
Fresh from school, his journey initially led him into a different industry than he'd intended.
My preference was to go into stockbroking, and I just ended up working in the theatre. So I worked for various arts councils and various festivals, travelled around Australia quite extensively, worked with overseas groups, then moved into film distribution from there. And that was just happened to be a time when I think the video industry started to knock cinema distribution or cinema audiences around, and the exhibitors withdrew a little from the industry. So I found myself out of work, and I went along to see a financial advisor, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I told him I wasn't doing anything, but I had some money to invest. And he said, "Why don't you become an advisor?" And I said, "I don't know anything about that." But I took some time off and studied, became an advisor. I wasn't an advisor for that long. I preferred the actual business development side of things, and so I moved across to that, and that's where I've been for about 30 years.
It's just really interesting that you got started off in the film and production and video side of things and ended up in the financial sector and now obviously in the business development. So it is a 360 change.
It's very different, but I was only a young guy and wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I travelled around Europe and went to the theatre in London quite a bit. And that was sort of something that interested me and still does. But in terms of a career, it's, you know, it didn't seem that fulfilling after a while. And then you start to turn your attention to, you know, how do I make some serious money?
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into where the influence to invest into property came from.
Money was tight, and you know, if you had a roast chicken on once a week, you know, you were considered sort of middle class or better. I mean, it wasn't something you eat a lot.
How Gibson became a property investor.
I mean, they say you should buy and never sell, but I mean, that's not always possible when you're raising a family and educating children and what have you. And I've had a couple of business interests of my own.
And that's next. I'm Tyron Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. I just wanted to let you know about the podcast show notes I've created for you that you can download at freepropertyresource.com. Inside these show notes, I've included a full summary, details of the resources recommended, plus much, much more. Just go to freepropertyresource.com to grab it now. It's free and it'll make the rest of the episode so much more impactful. Again, that's freepropertyresource.com. Now back to the show. The influence to get into the property market stemmed from the great Australian dream of owning his own home.
I was brought up through, and I'll be giving my age away now, but I was brought up through the late 50s and the 60s, and during a period of what they called the credit squeeze. And, you know, money was tight, and we're talking, I guess, post-war in the 50s, aren't we? So money was tight, and, you know, if you had a roast chicken on once a week, you know, you were considered sort of middle class or better. I mean, it wasn't something you eat a lot. Today people eat, you know, chicken every day of the week. But, you know, things were a lot different then. And the great Australian dream of, you know, owning your own home was of paramount importance. So that's instilled in my generation, you know, quite a bit. And you'll see now baby boomers are the ones that own so much of the property in Australia, because that's how they've been brought up. And that's how wealth, that's how true wealth is created, and it's a defensive asset. And whilst people talk about, you know, property bubbles bursting, all that sort of stuff, in my lifetime, I haven't seen that happen. I mean, sometimes it plateaus, but generally speaking, property goes up. I've only got to look at all the houses that I've owned over the years to see where they're at now.
For Gibson, becoming a property investor was as simple as wanting to create wealth for himself and his family.
I bought land and a house and another one, and you know, sometimes I've sold them, but you know, it came about in exactly the same way, that was the major way to create wealth in my, you know, generation and my parents. I mean, they say you should buy and never sell, but I mean, that's not always possible when you're raising a family and educating children and what have you. And I've had a couple of business interests of my own, and that always takes money, and Domacom is no different. I mean, and our previous company, you know, we mortgaged our homes and invested heavily into business. So, you know, it hasn't always been a case of buy and hold, I can assure you.
Focusing on investing purely in independent housing, not everything has worked out as well as he had hoped.
I've never bought apartments and flats. I've just only ever bought houses. Some has been in country and rural areas as well. Some of them seemed like a good idea at the time. I must say, not all of them have worked out all that well, but most have.
An example of one Gibson's less successful investments into property taught him to always gauge the fundamentals.
If you're looking to invest, you know, if you're looking for investment property, you need to look at something, you need to look at the fundamentals. And I guess it's like buying shares. You know, you look at the fundamentals. Is this a strong company? What's its balance sheet look like? Is it in a strong industry? You know, how is it faring? Looking at the property, and now, you know, is this in a growth area, or is the growth already gone? Will this be a property that I can rent out? You know, will it have a low vacancy rate, like hopefully a zero vacancy rate? Not, I don't like the colour of the wall, so I'm not going to buy this, because that's irrelevant. Your personal tastes are irrelevant when it comes to, it's not something you're going to live in. So you've got to divorce yourself from that and be much more objective around that. And no, I haven't always been like that. You know, you extend yourself because, you know, you want that property, you like that property. And maybe that's not always a good thing to do.
In terms of lucrative ventures into property, a recent aha moment stood out for Gibson relating to setting himself up for retirement.
Probably my most recent, which is currently rented, but it's also something that I'm going to live in at some point in retirement. So that was a question of, you know, what do I do with it? And so we renovated that, and it has a tenant, and we'll, you know, end up moving into it. So it's going to satisfy both. Well, it's just that at first I thought it would be a great place to live in. And that was my, you know, that was really the guiding thing for me. It was, you know, for a person on a personal level, and realised, you know, I could probably rent it out. Oh, it's reasonably old, probably 40, 50 years old, down in the Mornington Peninsula. Nice view, nice location. just thought it would be a nice place to have. Probably 3 years ago. Nothing since then, because my focus is really around Domacom and building, you know, helping build this business.
So, inspired by Gibson's journey and his aha moment, we'll continue the conversation with him in a future episode on Property Investory. We'll talk about the mindset behind his property investing success.
And I've had some experience with people who've taken advice at seminars and gone out and done what they thought they were told to do, and, you know, it's been a disaster for them.
How Domacom can help you get into the property market.
The solution, which is Domacom, to enable people to buy 10% of a property instead of 100% and have other people buy up the other 90%.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send out exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.